This is the Big Biz Show. What's so funny about investing money, you ask?
Play ball.
The Big Biz Show with Russ and Sully hope to answer that. Top-rated insightful financial analysis. If you're looking for insightful financial perspective on key market strategies, keep looking. I told you, this is the Big Biz Show. Hello. This is Russ and Sully.
Hey there, live from the Jump Television Studios in sunny San Diego, California. The Big Biz Show is on the air. It's so great to have you along today. Sully here, Rusty Nails there, and we are experiencing what is called volatility in the marketplace today. Mm-hmm. And it's not, it is not so much that it's a volatile issue. It's the fact that we're just so used to going up for 3,700. Yeah, that's the ticker tape. It's actually bleeding. I literally just sent a, I just sent a screenshot of a 10-year chart of the Dow. And I don't want you to show it yet, Chris and Jared. Chris Yannicus, our director. Yeah. Jared Coleman, our assistant director. And of course, Curtis Matovitz right here in the set here, our floor director. And our
yeah, the band is back together, man.
Band's back together today. I'm so happy with you. But I want to put this all in perspective because I don't think you're putting, well, I mean, none of us are. I had a conversation yesterday with someone who said, oh, I lost $80,000 in one day.
Yeah.
And I said, okay, think about this. You may have lost $80,000. Okay, first of all, if you lost that much money, you probably have $1.6 million in your retirement account. So good for you.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
You got the $80,000 loose. That's one way to look at it. I know that's hollow comfort.
Yes.
This is what you need to look at. You didn't lose $80,000. You lost $80,000 of your gains that you've made over the last several years that you've invested.
Okay.
Let me give you some real perspective here. If you had sold off the last 10 times during the last 10 downdrafts, like we just saw right now, like we saw back in Christmas.
Because you panicked and freaked out and said, I better get out.
And you like Rusty said several years ago, you locked in your losses.
You're okay? Right. Yeah, get me out.
And if had you sold off and then got back in at a safer time, all right?
Okay.
Over the last 10 years, your return on investment would have been 6.5%. In other words, you sold on the dips. Okay, you panicked and got out at the lows and got back in a little
when
safer
everybody dies else
of, when everybody else yeah. got back in.
Okay.
Your return investment is about 6.5%.
Not bad.
Okay, you beat inflation by 3 points. Okay?
Woo-hoo.
Had you left your money in...
Not panicked.
And not panicked and understood that this is yet but a blip in the radar screen, your return on investment would have been...
Ladies and gentlemen...
14.2%.
Yeah. Well, that's
14% by staying in. Yeah. Double your investment by... So, look, you got to keep this in perspective. Take a look at a 10-year chart of the Dow that I just created a moment ago.
It's colorful. Okay?
That's right. This is the new one, correct, boys?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is what you're looking at here. So at the bottom of the financial crisis, the Dow Jones was down below 8,000. Okay, yeah. That's 2009. Okay, look at 2016 where you saw the what's called a double bottom pattern there. That double bottom was when oil, we were panicking about oil at the end of 2015 and 2016.
Got it.
We've climbed ever since that election, okay, that election time.
Mm-hmm.
So the beginning of 2016 was the dip. The end of 2016 was right towards the election. We hit the election and Yahtzee, kaboom. Look what happens. We went sideways for most of 2016. And ever since the end of 2016, we've gone straight uphill. Last year, another election cycle for the midterm elections went sideways. You see the big dip there at the end of 2018? That's towards Christmas. Look at where we are now. Now, let me ask you something.
Huh.
Don't you wish you would have gotten in right where Russ's head is? Don't you wish you would? I mean, if you can't see us because you're listening to us on radio, maybe we can. Hey, Jared, will you make a biz bite out of this? So you can look at it on Show Shizzle and biz bites.
Yeah.
Russ, can you tell us what we're looking at right above your head here?
Right above my head it was a foggy day in San Francisco, and that's the Golden Gate Bridge, right from here over to this span. Yeah.
And that's where Russ jumped off.
That's right.
Right there and just
boom! Right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So at the end of Christmas Eve notes that one little dip there at the end of 2018.
That was
now. Look at our dip right now. Does it seem significant?
No.
This is what's called a head and shoulders pattern, ladies and gentlemen. Now, a head and shoulders pattern, you can see. Now, this is a really wide. This is a 10-year look at the Dow, right? Okay. You're looking at 2018, to beginning of 2019. Mm-hmm. The head and shoulders pattern is the one shoulder is at the beginning of 2018. The head hit middle of 2018, and now we got another shoulder hitting at 2019. Could this be a reversal of a trend? Maybe. That's what a head and shoulders pattern says.
That's a definite maybe, by the way.
But based upon that it's a 10-year chart, it would take a long time for it to reverse. So if you take a look at this one more time, and again, I know our radio audience can't see this, but if you go to bigbizshow.com, click on Show Shizzle, click on Biz Bites, you'll be able to see this from today.
Perhaps the most boring graphic ever put on a television
program. The point is, though, if you take this in perspective...
Put me back on.
This dip here, do you feel better about the dip?
I feel great about the
Honestly.
Dip. Yeah.
No, I'm not saying that it's not going to be painful short term, but it's going to... But look, it's just... You got to take this
It's a good time to buy.
Not necessarily. No, don't go down that trap. Okay.
Damn, thought I had it all figured out.
Let's look at Apple, for example, boys. Stock symbol AAPL.
The reason
I want to say it's not time to buy.
Yeah.
Because just because something is cheap doesn't mean it's not going to get cheaper. Just last week, Apple dipped a few percent, and many people got in thinking, you know what? God, what a great time. It's a reset here. Mm-hmm. Okay, so look what happened last week. Okay.
Oh my God.
Apple dips in May. It was climbing up. All of a sudden, beginning of May, it took a dip. It went from 210 to 202. People bought in right at the beginning of May at 202. Went up to 210 again.
Yeah.
And look what happened when the trade deal happened.
And for our radio, I can't see this. It sounds like this. Sorry.
Hold on.
It was a bad whistle.
Here's the second one.
It dropped.
So listen. So here's the
went down.
Here's what to learn here. Okay. Apple, for example,
good time to get
derives
in.
30, not necessarily a good time to get in.
Keep saying that.
35% of their revenue, I beg your pardon, 67% of their revenue comes from where?
China.
Yes.
No kidding.
Yes.
Good guess.
Now, part of that isn't retail revenue. Part of it's just because of the fact they get parts from China.
Right.
Qualcomm, for example, stock symbol QCOM, same type of deal. 35% of their revenue derives from China.
We're spreading that out around the globe now.
Right. Now, you got to be very careful here, though. Even though we're oversold down here, okay, and we're relative strength indicator says it's only a 35, it seems like a bargain.
No.
You're trending below the 15-day moving average and the 50-day moving average. This is a downtrend. You never buy on a downtrend.
Oh.
So let's go back to the last time Apple took a turn. That would be the end of 2018. Now, look at the end of 2018 where it dropped at the beginning of 2019 all the way down. So if you bring your cursor, Jared, down to the beginning of 2019.
Uh-huh. Oh, there it is.
You see it? Right there.
So
right
low.
There. Now, look what happened. 2019. Right at 2019. Yeah. Right there is the bottom. You should now look what happened like just a few days earlier. Had you bought in at 155, you still had 15 points to go. And the time to get into this stock, okay, was not even when it came up through all the way the month of January, but in February, okay, when the short-term moving average, the blue line, crossed above the red line, that
right
denoted the time to buy, and look what happened
no
right
kidding.
There.
No kidding.
Yes. So don't
up,
just...
leveled out, kept going up, I see.
And I know, listen, for our radio audience, this is interesting because I know you're listening to me describe a chart for you, we'll put this on bigbizshow.com so you can see it. But I think it was important today to kind of just be very graphic about it. I want to also mention another thing, too. The long story short is that we do not pay tariffs. Okay, I want you to understand. This is really important.
Hmm.
U.S. consumers do not pay tariffs. So by Donald Trump increasing tariffs, you're not paying tariffs. And by the way, neither is China. China doesn't write a check for tariffs either. And listen, erroneously, Donald Trump said something to the tune of, well, China's going to be filling our coffers. China's not filling our coffers. China's filling our coffers. We charge China when they import stuff, and our importers, our U.S. importers, paying the tariffs. Man. So he's actually penalizing import.
Isn't it all built in? Like, we owe them, they owe us. How about we just...
No, this is something completely different.
Oh.
This is talking about when we import stuff from China.
Yeah.
And look, we've sacrificed lower prices... lower labor for letting them steal our stuff.
Okay.
Okay. And now this is the pain that times are a-changing.
Yeah, well.
This is the pain that we have to suffer a little bit. But it's not China that pays tariffs. It's the American importers and the American companies that pay what in effect a tax increase and oftentimes passes it on to U.S. consumers.
Oftentimes.
And that's straight from the White House economic advisor, Larry Kudlow, as well.
Mm-hmm. That's why Amazon's going all robots.
Well, that's not why they're going all robots. But look, I will tell you this as well. China's economy can't withstand, fundamentally, a trade war with us because their economy stinks. This is all posturing. Mm-hmm. You look at what happened to the markets on Friday. Markets were down 300 points at some point on Friday with the Dow.
Yeah.
And just one little simple comment by the Chinese and one simple comment by Donald Trump flipped the markets around. They were up 80 points. Over the weekend, things were going rosy. We had Dow futures up actually this morning at 180 points up until the Chinese-backed media.
Wow.
The state media said, well, this is, look at it's posturing. They want to look good for the world stage. When that happened, of course, Donald Trump shot across the bow. And this is all a very good example of fear and greed.
I love it.
And why fear and greed runs the market. So look at, I hope that was a good explanation. Show that chart on the way out. Okay. This is not as bad as you think it is. It hurts right now, but it's not going to be as painful as you think. Big Biz Show, BigBizShow.com. Take a look at that chart one more time as we get out.
You pay now.
Look at this. Don't you wish you got in at 2010 when you ran?
Damn.
Don't you wish you would have got in at the Christmas Eve last year when you ran? Big Biz Show. Coming up.
Too much cholesterol in the blood causes plaque buildup in the arteries. Fiber has been scientifically proven to lower cholesterol. Created by Dr. J. Robert Cade, the inventor of Gatorade, Cholesterade promotes probiotic function, supports digestive health, contains all natural flavors, and is gluten-free. In the original case study, participants saw a reduction in bad cholesterol by more than 20%. Cholesterade is the ultimate all-natural digestive aid.
You're born broke and you die broke. They're trying not to take the in-between part too seriously. It's Sully and Russ on the Big Biz Show.
Hey there, live from the Jump Television Studios in sunny San Diego, California. The Big Biz Show is on the air.
Mm-hmm.
I just got an email from a listener. Asked us to show that chart one more time.
Oh, hi.
Because he wants to show it to his wife.
Beg your pardon?
Yeah, there you go.
Right, you
there's a chart.
Of,
okay, so for a radio audience.
I'll show it to you.
Who is this?
Who is what?
Peter from New Jersey.
There you go.
That chart that you're seeing there, if you're a television audience member, is a chart of the Dow Jones for the last 10 years. You see today? You can't even tell today, can you? We went sideways for a year and 3 months. Don't you wish you would have got in when you panicked back in 2009 and then in 2012 and then 2016 and then again last Christmas Eve?
You're making people hate themselves.
I'm just telling you, if you had gotten out, if you had sold out of this market the last 10 times it went down like this and then got back in when you felt it was safe, your return on investment is about 6%. Versus just leaving your money in, biting the bullet, and that's understanding why you bought those companies in the first place.
That's me.
14% your return on investment would be.
You're supposed to reevaluate your position every quarter.
That's exactly right.
I don't do that, but you're supposed to.
There you go. For our radio audience, we'll have this up at bigbizshow.com, and Jared will put together a biz bite that's going to be a little longer than normal.
I might retire in 6 months.
For hell,
62. I'll be ready. I can start taking the checks in.
Your check's going to be like $1,800 a month.
But guess what?
Okay.
If I want to change that later, I pay back whatever they gave me. Like if I want what I would get at 68, and when I get to 68, I go, now I want what I would get. I pay back whatever I...
And then they give it back to you.
And then they give it back.
That's intelligent. Doesn't that sound like good government, James? That's just efficient like that, isn't it?
You can
government efficiency.
Opt back in or something like that. I was reading about it.
Hey, can I ask you, James? You're an attorney, obviously. You're a law professor. You teach students how to become... Do they teach lawyering in college? Or is it basically just how to pass the bar? Or do they teach you lawyering in college and the bar has nothing to do with lawyering?
No, there's a bit of lawyering skills that's taught in law school, mostly how legal writing, legal reasoning, how to argue, that sort of thing, but not the pragmatic practice of law, no. They learn that when they get out of school.
Well, wait a second. I have you for a little bit today. I'm going to ask you this.
Hold on here.
Why is that? So why don't you teach me how to be a lawyer? I mean, I guess because are you teaching me how to think differently critically? Like, in other words, I see a guy run a red light, Runs over a cat. Lady gets upset. Sues him because his cat's gone. Another guy says, well, the reason he ran the red light because he was being chased by a robber. And so, I mean, is it sort of so you think it, at a 50,000-foot view, is that how you're supposed to teach these young people?
Yeah, I mean, well, the notion of thinking like a lawyer is actually thinking more like a judge, where you're able to see the arguments on both sides, and you would be able to reason if there's a close call. You would be able to understand the logic and the reasoning of both arguments. So that thus, they'll have these essay examinations in law school where the answer is not important. It's how you got there that's important. And that's something that was a part of the legal tradition going back, you know, to when the times when lawyers didn't go to law school, like Abraham Lincoln, and studied with other lawyers and apprenticed. But yeah, there's been a lot that changed over the years because they've inserted what they call clinical programs where they have lawyers go out and are interns and are able to get involved with either law firms or government institutions and learn more of the practical side, which is a lot of which is very boring.
So for you,
yeah,
because you're a law professor, do you think that should change, or do you like the way it is? Do you like the way that works?
Well, I think the change has come in the form of elective courses. There's like a certain amount. It's just like when you go to undergraduate school and you have your liberal arts foundation. You have the required core curriculum. There's sort of a core curriculum in law school where people have to learn sort of the basics of the general principles of, you know, most of the bread and butter areas of law, mm-hmm. and understand where they came from. So they study in what are called case books, and they learn a lot about the historical development of legal principles. In other words, it's what's called the common law. It's what England and the United States and the Commonwealth countries are based on. And you learn the way legal precedent develops. It's actually a good process. So that part of it, I think, is good to retain. And that's the bulk of the bar exams across the country. So, you know, law school really, in a sense, is a preparation for a licensing exam.
So when you splinter off, you know, you decide I'm that kind of a-hole that would be a good, like, Better Call Saul guy and, you know, just rock the boat. Or I just want to go to the, you know, district attorney's office and sit in my cubicle.
Well, the reason I'm asking is because we got James Hurston, who is iconic in this business of political analyses, media analyses. He's a law professor. I mean, I have a lot of respect for James. He's been with us for, I think, 12 years before he even got on TV. He's been with us. And then, of course, next we have Tom Del Beccaro, who's also an attorney as well. My question, the reason I'm asking this question is Washington mm-mm. is basically filled with attorneys. Most congressmen, most senators, most people holding public office are or were at one point attorneys. Because of that, you would think they would know better, James, with respect to what's going on with all of the subpoenas going on flying into the White House, because this is going to cost taxpayer dollars. Mm-hmm. It's a waste of time, and they know it. Shouldn't they be disbarred for abuse of process for political purposes?
Yes. No, and especially Jerry Nadler. I mean, it's hilarious, really.
Mad.
Is Jerry Nadler an attorney? Yeah, I think he is. But, yeah, you know, the idea that you can hold someone contempt for failure to break the law, which is essentially what he's doing. It's strange. You know, in theory, the legal profession is a noble profession. Legal thinking is a wonderful thing. It teaches to use the mind in a great way. The problem is, of course, like many other professions, like the teaching profession, the legal profession has been infiltrated and somewhat polluted. The big organizations have. Just like the mainstream press, academia, we can go on and on. So,
well, you know, it's interesting, James. It's interesting, James, is that you're in both. you're in the legal profession and you're in the teaching profession. You must be frustrated by now. Stay there. I'm going to keep you over. James Hurston, Herson on Hollywood, jamesherson.com. He's also a contributing editor at Newsmax, newsmax.com.
He's in the music industry,
He's in the music business. We're going to talk about Democratic presidential candidates competing for Hollywood cash. They're coming to Hollywood, mister.
I can't wait.
I think this country needs what Joe Biden has. Gray, flat, boring.
And the ability to touch women on the shoulders and smell their hair awkwardly in public.
All right, Big Biz Show, BigBizShow.com. Back in a minute.
You're born broke and you die broke. They're trying not to take the in-between part too seriously. It's Sully and Russ on the Big Biz Show.
BigBizShow.com. Great to have you along today. So let's talk a little bit about this China trade deal, because words hurt. Words can hurt, Tom.
Sticks and stones.
Well, listen, I will tell you, words can hurt. Uh-huh. And the reason I say that is because when on a very rainy Sunday, when Donald Trump tweeted out that he was going to take the tariffs from 10% to 25% on $200 billion, and then he's going to put another 25% on the rest of the stuff, basically.
Yeah.
That spooked the markets to the point where the Dow, at one point when I did a report on Monday morning, every stock in the Dow, 29 of the 30 stocks were down. You know the one stock that was up? Chevron, of course.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It was the gasoline stock. So in speaking about this trade war, Tom, this makes the gaffe that Joe Biden said the other day even worse, don't you think?
Yeah, although I don't even know if Biden understands what the hell he was saying. So
I know I would listen. I would agree with that. Look at it may well be the typical negotiating tactics by the president, and the narrative may change before Trump's new Friday deadline happens, because at this point, the good news is that the Beijing negotiator is going to be at the table. And there was some talk of him not coming to the table. Now he is.
Now he's coming in early.
Now he's coming in early because yeah. And look at let's not forget why Donald Trump got ticked off and fired a shot across the bow. The Chinese reneged on several things they said they were going to do at the last meeting. And he finally said, hey, the heck with it. If you guys aren't going to play this game, we're going to do this. Now, I think Donald Trump's smart enough to know what that was going to do to the markets and smart enough to know that our economy. I mean, we're knee-deep in this, from peanut butter to umbrellas to automobiles to technology.
You so get peanut butter.
He doesn't.
Yeah.
So Sully, you make a really good point there about being knee-deep into it. This is the most complicated trade negotiation of all time because China is such a big trading partner. China has our debt. China does rip off intellectual property and all of those things. But also, you're not dealing with a free market government. You're dealing with a government that is communist based and lies half the time. So it's one thing to do a free trade deal with London. You know, they're on our side. So this is very complicated. It's going to take a long time, and we're not going to accomplish everything. I think things will be better off. I think we'll probably get a trade deal later this year, and it'll be better than what was before. But it's not going to be anywhere near a normal free trade deal because of who we're dealing with.
Yeah. No, I agree, because
huge.
Look, until you're dealing with the fact that you've got a country that is basically, if we bring over a widget, there is a high chance that we'll get it made cheaper, but there's a higher chance that somebody's going to steal that widget at the same time, don't you think?
Yeah, 100%. They spy on trade missions. They wantonly take your technology. That is what they do. Now, look, Apple's still over there and makes products, so it's doable. Maybe Apple's got a bigger budget for protection than anyone else. It's still doable. But at the end of the day, if we want the world to be safer in 50 years, the more China opens up to capitalism, the better. And if we can somehow flip Iran in the same manner,
yeah,
the world would be a much better place. So trading is a very good thing for peace and freedom down the road.
Well, sure. And I think if there was a guy, look at, you know, Donald Trump came into this thing, Tom, because he was not a politician. He was a business guy. And yes, he took $10 billion in paper losses, or $1 billion in paper losses in 10 years. What? Who cares? I mean, you take paper losses every year, folks, on your tax return. I mean, do you take the child tax credit? Do you take the spousal credit? Do you take the mortgage credit?
You know, so, Sully, I love this. Thank you for bringing this point out. He took he took $1 billion in losses, but when you think of the total amount he had at risk,
yes,
it makes more sense versus what the average person does.
Well,
so,
of course.
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up.
I mean, people are, I mean, listen, they're putting the emphasis on the wrong syllable and they're not taking it in context. That's so a parting shot here. Where do you think this trade negotiation goes this week, and where do you think it goes going forward in the next few months, Tom?
First of all, that syllable thing reminds me that your guy there, Rusty, is always reminding me of Norm Crosby. Here's where I think it goes. We make a small. Hey, and I loved Norm Crosby.
I'm going to showcase a little indifference to that recommendation.
I love Norm Crosby.
I know, he's very good.
I think things get smooth, though. They're slightly. It's two steps forward, one and a half back.
Yeah.
The markets will return to some stability.
Yeah, I think so, too. Tom Delbacar, love that guy. And I believe he has a new book coming out. What's the name of your new book? Do you even know the name of your new book?
I can't even disclose
it
yet.
All right.
It's going to look like
he doesn't
have
a book coming out. He has an existing book. It's called The Divided Era.
Yeah.
PoliticalVanguard.com. Thank you, buddy. I appreciate all your help. All right. Coming up, we're going to talk a little bit of uranium. How do you like that? Big Biz Show. BigBizShow.com. Jump Television Studios, The Big Biz Show, our affiliates, and our hosts are not registered investment advisors or broker-dealers. Our show hosts make no commitment that the purchase of securities of companies profiled or otherwise mentioned in our programming are suitable or advisable for any person, or that an investment in such securities will be profitable in general. Given the nature of the companies profiled and the lack of an active trading market for their securities, investing in such securities is highly speculative and carries a high degree of risk. We profile selected publicly traded and privately held companies on our program. Most of these companies that we profile have provided compensation to Jump Television Studios and its hosts for the profile coverage. From time to time, we sell shares of the companies profiled in the open market that we receive as compensation for coverage of client companies, but never sell stock if we are speaking about, interviewing, or covering a public company who has paid compensation. Specific questions on compensation can be obtained by contacting jumptvstudios@gmail.com. Listeners should verify all claims and do their own due diligence before investing in any securities mentioned on this program. Investing in securities is speculative and carries a high degree of risk. We encourage our listeners to invest carefully and read the investor information available at the websites on the Securities and Exchange Commission, the SEC, at sec.gov, and or the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, FINRA, at finra.org.
They wanted to win a medal in curling. Found out it had nothing to do with lifting beers. It's Sully and Russ on the Big Biz Show.
Hey there, Big Biz Show, BigBizShow.com, nationwide, coast to coast. We're in 110 million television homes every night. We're in 150 radio stations across the country every day. We're also on iHeartRadio, which is everywhere. And of course, we do a special broadcast for Armed Forces Radio Network in 175 countries and all the ships at sea.
And a couple underwater.
And a couple underwater, that's right. So you can watch us on your couch. You can listen to us in your car. If you're overseas, you can listen. If you've got a mobile device, you can go to YouTube Go or BizVOD or Binge TV or even Apple TV, Roku, all those. Big Biz Show is on the air. Okay. All this talk about investing in stocks means it makes me want to talk to a publicly traded company. And we've got Nicholas. Is it Kakos? Am I saying that right?
That's absolutely correct, yes.
Nick Kakos. Nick, nice to meet you. He's the CEO of Blue Sky Uranium.
Wow.
I love this because one of you listeners, actually I think it was a TV viewer, contacted us via the website. One of our producers, our executive producer, Greg Todorov.
Looks like my meatballs.
Reached out and said, hey, we want to, you know, people are talking about you. Let's get you on the air. We don't know anything about uranium. You know, can you give us an overview and tell us about what you guys are doing over there?
Weren't they part of Russia?
No. Yeah, are you part of the Russia thing?
What's going on?
Oh, no, we're in Argentina.
All right. Oh, I see.
All right. So, Nick, tell us about it. Give us an overview about the uranium business and then your company.
Well, uranium business is we're seeing a big comeback happening globally right now because uranium nuclear energy in particular, provides electricity with no carbon footprint, so it is very environmentally safe. And secondly, it's also one of the most reliable and cheapest sources of electricity. And we're seeing a lot of new nuclear reactors now being built in emerging markets around the world, because one of the best ways to come out of poverty is to have access to cheap electricity.
Well, so this is almost an altruistic play as much as is it a profitable play, right? I mean, this is one of those things where you guys are doing the world good, but you're also being able to perhaps make your shareholders happy at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yes.
Hey, let me ask you something, Nicholas. So I think, much like the city of Detroit has a PR problem, I think uranium has a PR problem. It really is just that, isn't it? It's a public relations problem, right? Because we think uranium, oh my God, we're going to blow up the world. Yeah. That's just a very small use of uranium, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
Absolutely right. I mean, if you look at, there's 7 million people in the world that die every year from air pollution. And 4 million of those people die from burning wood and dung, which they use to generate electricity, generate energy.
Wow.
And this is a big, obviously, a problem. And when you look at nuclear energy.
Well, hold on right there. He said nuclear energy. Stay right there. We're gonna keep hanging in there on the edges of their couches and on their driveways.
Look at
Blue Sky Uranium Corporation.
Voted Ben Bernanke sexiest Fed chairman ever.
Hey, it's the Big Biz Show. We're nationwide, coast to coast here. 22 years on the radio, 13 years on TV. Yeah, we're both formats. And we are brought to you by Prudential. Let Prudential be your. Wow! Rock! For retirement. Also brought to you by Rock Mobile. You can get a Rock Mobile plan for $29 a month if you want a mobile phone from Rock Mobile. ROKmobile.com.
Rock!
Wow. Mobile. Also brought to you by Bayer Advanced. Better science, better results.
Better believe it.
Thank you. Jeez.
Oh, you didn't do it for the last couple days.
I didn't?
Thought you don't need me.
I didn't?
No.
Oh.
We've been leaving that one out.
Starbucks Coffee is a sponsor of this television program.
You know, I had a cup this morning. I don't know. Do you like it?
I did. It's got a bigger, dare I say, bolder flavor.
Bolder.
Bolder. I said bolder. 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 There we go. Bolder.
See?
Bolder.
Oh,
bolder.
Move along.
Who's the other one? Bloomin' Brands.
Oh, yeah. They've got locations in Boulder and Little Rock.
They do.
Pebble Beach as well.
Outback Steakhouse. Oh, forget it.
Okay.
Thank you, sponsors.
They're my favorite band, Stone Temple
Pilots.
When
you got a big corporate sponsor, like when you got a very big important TV show with important sponsors, they're not watching.
No, they don't.
They got better stuff to do than watch us.
Yeah, it's like at an auction. They buy the table and give the tickets to all their downlings there.
Yeah, I can't insult them.
Which sucks.
Try not to insult them.
You know that? Here's an auction tip, by the way.
Okay.
Because you don't want
Russ's auction tips.
You don't want to invite people who don't have money. So if you sell a corporate table and the corporate president gives the money to the secretary.
Well, if you buy a corporate table, you already made the money.
Well, yeah, but you want people at the line.
Oh, you want to buy the ticket and the table and the t-shirt
because they got
be
the
there.
Wallet. Right. Scooch, you know what I'm saying?
We're doing a uranium giveaway at the next auction.
That one nugget looks like an old piece of cheese.
Yeah, Nicholas Kakos is the CEO of Blue Sky Uranium Corporation. By the way, they are publicly traded under the stock symbol BKUCF. I will tweet that out to our 40,000 followers. They also trade on the Canadian Stock Exchange as well. But it's interesting because this is one of those deals that we were talking to Nick just briefly here about having a PR problem, but there is an upcoming uranium bull market, isn't there, Nick? Talk about that.
Absolutely. There is a bull market coming up. You just have to, and when the bull market in uranium happens, the explosion can be really explosive, if I can say. Last time, about 10 years ago, we saw the price of uranium go from $10 to $135 per every pound of uranium.
So wait, let me stop you there.
That's a jump, man.
We can't talk about share price, and we don't talk about numbers with public companies here, but you guys are publicly traded.
Mm-hmm.
When I see a gold boom, to borrow your parlance there,
explosion.
I can buy gold easily. To participate in the uranium market, though, you sort of have to get involved with a company who's in uranium. That's the only way to do it, right?
That's right. You have to buy a company that produces uranium. And last time we saw uranium returns in equities that were averaging around 2,000%. It's just
okay. Tremendous. So I want to ask you. And by the way, folks, I don't own this stock, but they are publicly traded under the stock symbol BKUCF. I have to ask you: can you dispel some of the nuclear power myths that are going on? Because look, we live in, you know, we may broadcast all over the country and all over the world. We live in San Diego, California. As we drive north out of San Diego, we drive right by the Dolly Parton nuclear power plant.
That's right.
Called San Onofre.
Huge.
Which has served Southern California really well until, of course, our South California environmental laws came into place and they're shutting the damn thing down, which is going to cost all of us more money. Mm-hmm. Talk about the reasons why there is such a scare about it and why that's just probably overstated and why we need to be involved with nuclear power.
Well, absolutely, it's overstated. I mean, the reason for that is one of the first uses of nuclear power was to make bombs.
Yeah.
And that naturally instills fear on everybody. But you look at the track record of nuclear reactors around the world, and take the last one, for example. Take the Fukushima disaster that happened back in 2011. Everybody that I speak to, people think of it as a nuclear disaster, but in fact, it's not. All the deaths that occurred at that time were because of the tsunami and because of the earthquake, nothing because of the uranium, mm-hmm. or the nuclear radiation.
Sure.
So it's like you said earlier. Uranium gets a bad rap,
yeah.
But in fact, it's safe, it's secure, and a very reliable source of energy.
Nicholas, talk about your company now. So now we kind of got a good overview, and we certainly want to have you back to talk about uranium, but talk about Blue Sky Uranium Corporation and what you guys are doing and where you're located and some of the assets you guys have there.
Well, we're active in Argentina, in southern Argentina. In the province of Rio Negro, we have discovered not just a new uranium deposit, but a brand new uranium district that has the potential to become one of the lowest cost producers in the world and also amongst the largest. So this is a very significant new discovery, and it's making an impact right now, and it's going to have an impact globally.
How do you know it's in the ground? Do you smell it? Do you see it? Does it radiate at night? Is there little metal detectors or you know, is it easier to find than gold or copper?
It's Geiger counters. That's how we found it.
We
flew an area and with a radiometric Geiger counter, and you could see it light up just as it occurs naturally.
Oh, that's great.
So talk about when they talk about yellow cake uranium. Is that what's different between yellow cake uranium versus what other kind of uranium? Give us a primer.
Angel food.
Yeah, angel food cake.
Yeah, don't eat it.
Yeah.
Yellow cake uranium is basically after you've got a production of you're producing uranium, it precipitates into a form called yellow cake, and that's what you sell to nuclear and to electrical utility companies for them to further process and to turn it into electricity.
So as a company for you folks, obviously you've got a lot of assets. Do we call it a uranium mine? Is that what we call it? You have plenty of mines.
Yes.
Okay, so you've got a number of mines. You've got good assets. You've got good discoveries. You've got a good management team, good market size. Everything's in place. You know, and again, we don't talk about share price, we don't talk about numbers, but as a company, where do you see this going as a company and as an industry over the next, let's say, 6 months, 18 months, 5 years?
Well, we have right now defined just under 23 million pounds of uranium.
Wow.
I think our efforts over the next 6 months is to grow this, to expand this deposit and find additional deposits. Our goal is to have, you know, to at least double it, if not triple the size of this deposit.
So the expansion potential is about finding more assets, finding more stuff in the ground, and essentially bringing it to market, correct?
That's correct.
Yeah.
That's correct.
And Nicholas, listen, we're out of time. I got to have you back, though, because this is so – we've never had a uranium expert, and I don't think we have a uranium mine. Listen, we're gonna have you back. We're going to put you on our watch list. Once again, his name, Nicholas Kakos.
I'm craving yellow
cake. Blue Sky Uranium.
Yeah.
BKUCF in the U.S., BSK in the Canadian Stock Exchange, and that does it for us today. There you go.
Wow.
Chris Janikas, our director.
Oh, yeah.
Curtis Manchester, our assistant director. WrestlingPlay.com because
WrestlingPlay.com will take it. Oh, time to spare.